And I'm Akbar Bajabia Miller.
And we're the hosts of American Ninja Warrior, and today is an exciting day.
That's right. This is the inaugural day. This is it. The introduction of American Ninja Warrior podcast.
Well, and what's really cool is on the show, we get to tell some of the stories of these athletes. Yeah. But what this podcast is all about is really giving us a chance to get to know these athletes better and hear them in their own words.
Yeah, it is true because, you know, we get to know them personally on set and sometimes through their one sheet. But to actually hear them and see what they've been through, their life stories, I like that. It's just this one-on-one intimate feeling of getting to know your ninja warrior.
And that's what we want to give you, is a chance to get to know these ninjas better and learn about them off the course, learn about their motivations, learn about how they train, and learn what it's really like to hear from them, what it's like to compete on American Ninja Warrior.
And I think you'll find that these ninjas, they're more like us than we think.
More like you.
No, because well, you know, outside of their, you know, their physical prowess, the fact that, you know, there's life stories, you can relate to them. I mean, and I think all these ninjas, they have different stories, and someone's going to feel that button pressed on them as well.
And that's why I really like this first ninja we're going to talk to. This was a guy who exploded onto the scene in season 7, really came out of nowhere, a tremendous athlete, a guy who already had Instagram fame as modern Tarzan. But not only was his performance on the course great, his story off of the course was really gripping.
Yeah, it was very intriguing because Nicholas Coolidge is who we're talking about. Nicholas Coolidge, this is a guy who made a living doing dumpster dives. I mean, he would go out and do dumpster dives, and I wanted to learn more about that.
Well, that's how he stayed alive. That wasn't his living. He wasn't recycling. But it's really interesting. No, you know, he lived in his van, and he was dumpster diving, I think, which was one of those things. But I love the motivation, the idea of people are wasting food. And this is a guy who doesn't seem to be motivated by money. And I'm so excited to get to learn more about Coolidge and what his motivations are.
And how he's handled the success of American Ninja Warrior. It's not like he's an unknown. I mean, he's been on popular TV shows. He's been on American Ninja Warrior. So you're starting to see him more and more out there. See how this has changed his life, because he was really just a homebody guy, just a guy that was very relatable. Has this success gone to his head? We get to find out.
Well, he's traveled the globe. He's getting ready for season 10 of American Ninja Warrior. But right now, he's here with us. So enjoy our talk with Nicholas Coolidge on the American Ninja Warrior podcast. Well, we're thrilled to be sitting down with our first guest, a man who in a very short time has become a legend. It's modern Tarzan, Nicholas Coolidge. Nicholas, thanks for joining us.
Now, hey, thanks.
You call him by his nickname. You call him by his government name. I just call him Nick.
Nick, you know what? I want to start off with this. How did you came onto it in season 7. How did you discover American Ninja Warrior?
Well, I've always heard of American Ninja Warrior growing up. I've always, you know, people always mentioned it to me, you know, wow, you should be on that show. You should be on that show. And I actually hadn't seen a lot of it because I've always been too busy going out and like having adventures and climbing on stuff.
Living life.
Yeah, living life. And my buddy Travis was like, Travis Brewer, right, who's also been on the show. When I came down to LA and first started hanging out and making new friends and meeting new people, he was one of the first guys that I met and the first guys that I really connected with. And I didn't realize it, but he had been on the show. And he was like, dude, you're already a ninja. You need to be on this show. We need to get you on this show. And so, I mean, long story short, you know, it's been 3 years now, 3 years on the show.
Was it a hard sell for you? I mean, you're going from not really being familiar with the show, then saying, hey, you're going to be on TV, and then you got to perform in front of millions of people, thousands of people in attendance. I mean, was it an easy sell or was it hard?
It wasn't the hardest sell, but it definitely made me very nervous. I mean, I've never been on a TV show before like that, especially. I mean, being somebody where like I'm kind of highlighted as like the athlete that's competing on the show. And I don't know. I was like, it's always kind of one of those like, I don't know if am I really good enough to be on the show? Like, am I actually really a ninja? Like, you know, you don't really know.
Well, find out.
Yeah, really.
Well, that's what fascinates me. So you came on and you're a tremendous athlete. But what is your athletic background? Like, had you competed in team sports? Because you're phenomenal on a trampoline. You've done acro yoga on Instagram. You're known as Modern Tarzan for all your feats of incredible movement. But what is your actual athletic background growing up?
You know, people always ask, like, oh, you must have done gymnastics and stuff like that. And yes, I did, but not for as long as you'd think. I only did it for about a year or so as I was a kid.
Right.
Wow. But I didn't like the style of how it's pretty much all oriented about being competitive and being like perfect with your movement and having it like getting ready to be judged, you know?
Right.
And I was never, I don't know, I was into the movement. I was always into jumping and climbing and swinging on stuff. But when I went to the gymnastics, I had more fun like going on the zip line and being creative on the rope swing that was in the gymnastics right. area. So as I started to kind of realize that, I got out of gymnastics. And I didn't do a lot of movement after that for a while. I did a lot of soccer. My dad's English, uh-huh. so he always wanted me to do soccer, and I did soccer for
that's where that coordination comes from.
Keep
right?
daddy happy, don't we?
I did soccer for, yeah, no, my dad, yeah, I mean, it's just great. I love soccer, and I played soccer for about 10 years into right. high school, and then I discovered parkour, free running.
And how'd you get into that? You just found
I
it
just
on
saw
YouTube
it on YouTube.
Something?
Yeah, okay. that was right when YouTube
do you remember
was starting
who you
to.
Saw? Was it Sebastian Foucan or a guy like LaFleur?
It was
anyone
one of those
particular?
Random Russian YouTube videos.
Right.
You know, those crazy guys, you know, all that crazy stuff.
It
you
makes
know.
Me it makes me sick to my stomach watching them.
You look at it and you go, like, come on, like, is this even real?
Don't be on top of a building doing it. I feel like a mother watching it.
Well, it's just, I noticed it and I was like, wait, this is a sport? Like, this is just people climbing around on stuff.
Right.
And they're like, no, this is a real thing now. Like, they've named it. They're having like groups and meetings and people that are actually training with specific names for all these tricks. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is my thing. This is like, this is
okay,
me
hold on,
written
hold on.
All over
okay,
it.
Okay, you got to walk me through this because when I see parkour, and for those listening, if you're not familiar with parkour, it's just imagine Spider-Man jumping from building to building, but in real life. At what point did you go like, okay, this is dangerous and this, I may break a bone.
There is a lot of dangers involved. And I think there's a lot of people that jump into it too quickly because they get really excited about it. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can be a superhuman. And like, it's like, there's a name for this. And I want to learn all these tricks. And they jump into it really, really fast. For me, I've always been a mover. I've always been a climber. So I've had a lot of background and foundation just naturally being somebody that's very interested in mm-hmm. movement my whole life. In fact, I was, you know, I've been nicknamed Monkey Boy since I was like 4 or 5 years old by my parents. But it was something that, like, what really fascinated me about the art form is it's not competitive. First
right.
of all, there are a few competitions now, but it's kind of like skateboarding. It's very artful.
Right.
There's a lot of creativity involved, and it's a lot about being the best that you can be in your own category and the ways that you like to move.
And that's very much, I think, what American Ninja Warrior has become.
Yeah.
The idea of you're not competing against the other athletes or even the courts, it's competing against yourself to
it
be
is.
The best version of yourself.
It really is. And that's actually one of my favorite parts about American Ninja Warrior as well, is that all the competitors do hang out and share each other's like talents and tricks. And we're all so different. Our specialties are so different, honestly.
Right. Yeah.
It's not one of those things where it's like, if I share this skill with you, it's gonna like kind of come back to bite me later.
Right.
Because
that's what I've said is you get better together.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I look at you and Travis Brewer and I've seen the friendship you've formed and it's gone beyond American Ninja Warrior. And you guys are now trying to change things. You're traveling around the globe, really, taking your message.
We are. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing to be doing what we're doing and to have come where we've come from. Because honestly, I was like, definitely a nobody, you know, growing up, or at least I felt like that. And to be where I am today and like being able to spread the message,
and
the messages that I want to spread.
And it's kind of cool that Ninja Warrior is giving you that platform. You know, it gives you that boost of confidence.
It has.
I also read somewhere, and tell me if this is true, that, you know, with your message that you and Travis are going around from school to school talking about health and healthy lifestyle, that you made a crazy intro into a school somewhere in Chicago, and you came in from the top of a building. Please tell me you had a zip line.
Oh.
Is this true? Did you actually make an introduction to a bunch of kids?
To encourage children to practice dangerous behavior?
from the top of a building?
We did. It was kind of a debatable entrance for sure, because we're like, well, we don't want to inspire them in the wrong way. But I mean, that kind of led into our talk of like, we're trained, you know, we do this professionally and we've come a long ways. And like the things that you can accomplish if you train hard and practice hard are like superhuman.
Right.
Like you can literally become a superhuman in a sense. And that's what Ninja Warriors are. We are real life superhumans.
This reminds me of the R. Kelly song, I Believe I Can Fly.
I'm not trapped in the closet. But I think that's the other thing too, is people don't see that. They see you compete once a year. And what we always talk about is the work that goes into it. So let people know, how often are you training? Are you moving? Are you doing things that are applicable towards American Ninja Warrior?
For me specifically, it's a little bit more unique. I mean, like I said, I've always been more fascinated with creativity and uniqueness and being kind of like always having a fascination with movement, because I found that when I do something that's more scheduled and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do 10 push-ups and like 20 pull-ups and like all this stuff, it just gets boring for me. It gets so boring.
So you wouldn't do well in a team environment like that, like as far as, you know, hey, this is, you know, like football or basketball.
Your coach telling you what you got to do.
You got to do this. Here's your scheduled workout. Because you kind of went even rogue from gymnastics. Like, I'm doing my own thing. This is like your
own. But you did do soccer. Yeah.
I'd be more like, I wouldn't, I think football is still awesome. Yeah. I think I would still, I still really enjoy like those, because those are very creative. You constantly have to adapt and change. I would be more like, I'm not extremely fascinated in like lifting weights or swimming or like, you know, very kind of a repetitive, like back and forth. Like you just train in one thing and there's a perfect way to do it and you're going to achieve that. So for me, with my training, I continue to find the fascination, the curiosity that I've always found in movement. And that inspires me to train really like all day, every day in a sense. I mean, if you hang out with me, if you were hanging out with me for a day, you'd be like, this guy's crazy. He's just climbing on everything.
Like, what did you do? What are you going to do tomorrow? What, you know, how, what, you wake up.
I don't think he plans this, man.
I love hearing it though. Like, tell me how you spend your days, where you spend them, what you're doing, the movements, everything that you're doing. I'm fascinated by it, by how much time, because I follow you on Instagram and you're always, with your girlfriend, I'm sorry, Dana?
Dana.
I call her Sprout.
Sprout. Right.
Yeah. Acro Sprout.
But yep, you guys are Brewer. I'm always seeing these new posts, incredible places. But take me through kind of your movement or how a day might go.
Yeah, I mean, when I have the freedom to just do live the day that I want to live, I mean, it would maybe start from obviously just having a healthy morning breakfast and just running out the door and just going and climbing on everything and anything that fascinates me along the way. And usually it kind of ends at the beach because I love the beach and love the sun and the environment there. And we have an amazing workout area here in Santa Monica that I go to a lot.
Ninja HQ.
I mean, really, because they all hang out there.
It's great. I mean, not just with the equipment, but the environment. Like, there's so many inspiring athletes that are down there. Encouraging.
Artistic.
Yeah, that same kind of very creative, encouraging environment that I love is down there. But, like, again, like, even when we go to the grocery store, like, you'll see me, like, handstanding on the shopping cart.
You guys are all nice playing. And like, it's the sense of play.
Yeah.
When I go through your Instagram, we're talking about your Instagram, and I look at it, and first off, I go, wow, this is crazy. I'm addicted to your Instagram page, by the way, because it's like, okay, what did he do this time? And what did he do this time? And you guys got to check out Modern Tarzan.
It's incredible.
Having Travis on the top of your neck and going through and shopping and doing all those different things. I'm like, I know people are looking at you guys like, these people are crazy. They probably want to kick you out. But how many calories do you think you burn in a day? Like, if I bought you a Fitbit tracker and you were to track your calories, this would be interesting, actually. Do you have one?
I don't. I know
exactly what
you're talking
about. We need to get you one
because
I want to know how many calories you burn in a day doing your lifestyle.
That would be very interesting. I don't personally keep a track of a lot of that stuff because I'm so sporadic, you know, with my lifestyle. And first of all, I really appreciate what you said about my Instagram. I really strive to continue to do creative.
At Modern Tarzan.
Yeah, it's creative different things.
It is the place and destination to go to for social media entertainment, physical entertainment.
But man, I honestly don't know. I know that the last time I had one of those physicals that like test your body fat and things like that and like average consumption.
Tell me slowly. Don't make us feel bad here.
You got two big boys sitting across from you.
I guarantee you, Matt, I guarantee you he's in the single digit. Yeah. I will throw this pin at you if you're in the double digits.
It was a little below 5% body fat.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, which is actually, I found out, kind of unhealthy. I found out that I needed to eat more, which I already thought that I ate an enormous amount.
But your metabolism is probably off the charts because
that brings
you're
us to an interesting point. And one of the most fascinating, one of the reasons your story also stuck out was in season 7, we talked about you dumpster diving for food.
Yes.
And so take us through that, and explain to people what you were doing and kind of the philosophy behind it.
So I discovered dumpster diving through a documentary that was talking about really how wasteful we are in this country and a lot of countries, especially modernized countries, with food. And it's really, really pretty alarming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to throw a few figures out there, about 50% of our food that come into our country goes to waste.
Oh, wow.
50%. I mean, that is That is not okay, in my opinion.
It's not staggering. It's depressing.
Yeah, it very is.
I mean, especially with all of the things that we're talking about, like we don't have enough food and we need to grow more cattle or animals and crops. And it's just like, no, we just need to waste less.
Yeah.
Yes, waste
less. Oh, my God. Like, so that documentary goes into specifically, you know, like how a lot of our, how our grocery stores work. And there's a lot of laws that go into this that kind of prevent the grocery stores from working around it. But there's a lot of situations where they just have to dump so much food and it's completely edible. A lot of it's been delivered that day. So when I discovered that, I couldn't believe it.
Right.
I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go dumpster dive. I just wanted to go see it. I wanted to go experience it firsthand. Went out that night. Went there. Somebody else was actually dumpster diving at the spot I was going to, and he's like, "Oh yeah, like this is how you do it. This is the
very welcoming.
Yeah. And he's like, "Help yourself. Like, I already picked the picking."
Did sanitation get into your head?
Of course.
Like this can't be sanitary.
But you're saying these are packaged foods and things that
you'd be really surprised. It's not a dumpster. Like you're not dumping.
You're not picking half a sandwich out of a trash can.
No. Yeah. And you're not driving through other people's trash. It's like a shopping. It's like a shopping mall's trash can, and all they throw away is food. That's all they throw away. Wow. And then they have a few other bags of like their other normal trash, but that's also bagged and put almost to the side.
Yeah.
So when you go in there, you're like, oh wow, this is like literally you. There's like a box, and then you open the box, and there's another box, and then there's like the food, and you're like, wait, like this isn't even. Like, this is completely sanitary.
Right. And you know what? I'll share a personal story. When I was a kid, I had one of my brothers, Tony, used to work at Marie Callender. And we used to wait up from when we were much younger. And he would bring home a big bag of, like, 5, 6, 7 boxes of pies. And he would tell them that he was throwing it out. And he'd put it in a special bag, hide it behind the dumpster, and bring it back. And I'm like, why would they throw this out? And we would wait, waiting sometimes 10, 11 o'clock at night, waiting for him to get off of work so we could eat the pie that he collected. But you're right. I mean, it's the same thing. Yeah, because we live in a litigious society. Everybody wants to sue for everything.
Well, which is really unfortunate in a lot of ways. I mean, it's good in some ways, you know, like we keep our
place keep people
clean
safe.
And safe. Right. But it's a little over the top sometimes. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I love about American Ninja Warrior is that you can share your story. And that's what I want to get at too is, obviously, as an athlete, you've made a tremendous impact. But what's been the feedback you've gotten from your story, from about movement, from about your lifestyle? How do you feel people have reacted to it or what feedback have you gotten?
It's been very positive for the most part, which has been great. There are, I mean, on the subject of the dumpster diving, some people are like, he's a really cool ninja, but he eats out of trash.
Right.
It's so gross.
Well, that's why it's good for you to explain what it is.
Yeah.
We got clarification. Right.
No, I appreciate you letting me kind of clarify that a little bit more because it's really not as gross as it may appear.
Well, but more
importantly, I want to go with you one day.
You're making the point of food waste, which I think is such an important thing to highlight.
Yes, definitely.
But the feedback is good.
The feedback is really good. It's really cool to see the people, like, they're so inspired by American Ninja Warrior. Everyone's, like, just so, they're like, it's my favorite show. I love watching it. I love watching my kids. And they all watch it as a family. And like, truly adult to kids can watch this show and just be driven by it. And that's a lot of the feedback I get. It's like, oh, my gosh, you're so lucky to be on that show. And we love you on there. We watch it every time it's on. And, it's all great. It's all great. Great.
I just had a parent moment right now, just thinking about Nicholas Coolidge, the stuff from Instagram, the things that you do on American Ninja Warrior, hanging from light posts and doing pull-ups. Do you ever get calls from your parents going, baby, oh, what are you doing? Oh, no. Please don't do it. Do your parents get scared when they see you doing these things, or they just say, that's him?
They're
just
so
whatever.
Used to it.
They're
right.
so used
They're
to
so
it.
Used
so you get
to
no
it.
Phone calls talking about, be careful.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, still
yeah.
Parents.
No, they do. Yeah, they're like,
they know
I
it's
trust
useless.
You.
Yeah.
I trust you. You know, they've known. I mean, I've always been a responsible person.
Right.
I mean, like,
and you're not taking silly risks here.
Whoa.
These are calculated.
It's very calculated.
But it's
calculated.
Relative, though, because when I'm looking at you about 7 stories high on a light post doing pull-ups.
But this is the point. This is the emphasis, though, that you've trained for this. You've thought of this, right? This isn't spontaneous. I'm going to try this.
It's beyond training. I mean, it's like, I understand, I mean, when you bring up the lamppost thing, I understand the actual structural integrity and engineering of the lamppost. Like, I've studied that and I've built houses with my dad and I understand how all this stuff works together and what's the strongest leverage points and like why a certain move would be bad idea. you know, and why and how I can work around these things and be safe.
So it's not random. It's not calculated.
Not at all.
It's calculated.
I think I'm actually one of the more calculated, what you'd say, like thrill risk seekers.
Well, it's like Ethan Swanson. He studied weeks before he did his roof jump on YouTube. And I think it was the same thing. And that's the message. You know, we do want to tell people at home, follow his Instagram, but
don't try it at home.
The work he's put into it. But what is it like, though, when you are in that moment? Is it this zen? Is it adrenaline?
You know, it's really actually, a lot of people say that. It's like, oh, you're just in it for an adrenaline rush. Overall, it's actually controlling that. And if I'm getting an adrenaline rush, that's actually a sign that I'm going too far.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And that's a sign that's like, this is beyond my capabilities. Whoa. My body's kicking into overdrive.
That's because, a pretty cool concept, though.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that it does happen on American Ninja Warrior because there's just so much energy. But honestly, I think a big part of competing on the show is being under control of that adrenaline and using it to your advantage.
You know, that's a crazy concept if you think about it, being able to realize that adrenaline means that you're perhaps going too far. It's because in traditional sports, adrenaline, like, you need that to be able to have almost like an edge. Like, I'm going crazy. It's a controlled adrenaline, but still there's that adrenaline rush. 60,000 fans screaming your name and, you know, this is a big game, primetime lights and everything. And that adrenaline kind of helps get you through this big moment, but you use it as a warning sign.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, to go into competitions like that, I mean, specifically American Ninja Warrior, man, I see ninja after ninja after ninja that are honestly stronger than me, physically stronger than me, pump out at the very few obstacles because I can see their adrenaline is just rushing and they're going to this superhuman mode and they crush those first few obstacles when they're like, you know, in this power mode, but then they just crash super, super hard and they don't understand it. Like, I can't believe I fell on that obstacle. It's like, well
we have a resident doctor. Can you explain all
that? Well, no, we saw that with Ian Dory. I thought that was a prime example. When we saw Ian Dory, one of the world's greatest climbers that got on the U.S. national bouldering team, pump out on the flying bars at the end of stage three. And you're like, if this guy pumps out, and it was something that Makoto Nagano, who, for those who don't know, American Ninja Warrior came from a Japanese show called Sasuke. He's one of the guys who achieved total victory. And the point he made was no one will ever do it on their first time because mentally they're not prepared for what it's like being on the show. So as you're sitting at the starting block, Coolidge, as we're getting ready for season 10, what do you tell yourself? What goes to your mind as you're sitting there ready for your run?
Well, it's a lot of, you know, I think what happens, and it happens to me, it happens to everyone, I think, is you start running the course through your head over and over and over and over again, especially once you kind of get a glimpse of it, and you're like, okay, I'm going to put my right foot there, right foot, left foot, right foot. Oh, wait, maybe I should do my right foot. And then you start getting nervous.
Right.
Because you're questioning your own abilities, really, and like how you should accomplish the course.
Uh-huh.
I do a quick run through and I try to place my steps and think about it a little bit, and then I stop thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just go with the flow because I know that me personally, I do have a very adaptable movement style that applies really well to American Ninja Warrior, which is amazing, and that I don't want to overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't
paralysis
don't
by analysis.
It.
You've heard that so much,
you
know, over the years, paralysis by analysis, and you hear a lot of the ninjas talking about the power of visualization. So it's kind of cool that after you're done with your first run through of visualization, you just let your body take it. You just kind of become, just react and become a part of the course.
Yeah. I almost kind of ignore the fact that I'm going to be competing soon. I just kind of sit there and like hang out, talk, and like maybe like, I mean, even like in a sense, like meditate, you know, just kind of like clear and like stay really calm. So
I remember it was season one. I think the hourglass drop in qualifying, you didn't get. Was that right?
No, I got
that. Oh, you got it
the first season?
And the first season, though, you completed. You were the only finisher in the Venice City Finals.
That's right, yeah.
Which was a highlight moment to me, which was when I started to realize.
Season seven. Yeah.
This guy is legit. But for you, is there a moment that stands out in your American Ninja Warrior history, one moment?
Nah, that would be the moment.
Yeah.
For sure. No, that would be the moment. Because that was the first time I'd ever
a loaded even field been, and you were the only one.
I mean, I wasn't even super aware of like how the whole show ran down. I mean, I was hanging out with these other ninjas and like asking them silly questions. And they're like, you're competing tonight. Like, how do you not know these
things?
What
were the questions?
Well, I mean, they'd be like, well, for instance, the interview, right? They're like, oh, say you're going to like, are you going to crush Mount Midoriyama? And I was like, What's that? Honestly, they were like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think like, everyone listening knows, but for those who don't, that's the name of all four stages. Our Vegas finals, of course, is Mount Majama. Maybe Coleridge knows that now.
Oh, I got it now. I was like, Mount Majama, Pajama. What?
Malama? Hold on. Is that the host last name? Madura. I thought it was Baja. What?
I couldn't repeat it. I'm going to crush Malama Jama. Mount Majama.
We're going to change it to Mount Malama Jama. I like that one.
That sounds like Midoriyama and Baja B. Millis married together. Pajama Mala. So did you see yourself, and you talk about the visualization, maybe it's something that you adapted afterwards, but did you see yourself actually getting to that? Like, I'm actually going to do that.
Well, I mean, again, once I found out about it,
season 7, did you see yourself getting, finishing... Oh.
The very first time
that you hit that buzzer.
You know, I did, actually. I could see it happening. And it was really an interesting thing because I was looking at the course thinking, like, I can do this. But then it questioned myself, like, but everyone says this is really, really hard.
Where do you get this confidence from?
And not that it wasn't, but I mean, just with what I've done in the past. And, like, yeah, I take things to a pretty extreme level. So, like, I'm in these scenarios naturally when I'm training where I can't fall. You know, I'm hanging on something. I know I can hang there for a long period of time, but I need to complete this training thing where I'm hanging on the side of a staircase or something. And this is like that, but like really in my opinion, there's really no risk. You're falling in water and you're falling on pads. So I was like, oh, I can do this. And as I was doing it, it was like surprising me, but not at the same time, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, I really am doing this.
You have like this humble, like, cool confidence.
I think a lot of the ninjas do, which is what I love.
Yeah, but there's some arrogant ones.
Yeah.
There's some arrogant ones, but to have that cool confidence, there's got to be a genesis for it. Can you pinpoint where that confidence that comes from just to be able to, like, yeah, I can do this? Because most people don't, like, they're unsure of themselves. I can tell you, starting to train for Ninja Warrior myself, like, there's all these doubts, natural doubts that start to come
up. I'm unsure of you, too.
I'm kidding. You're going to crush it. Yeah, like... Where does it come from?
I think it's a lot of the environment that you've grown up with, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, your friends, your family, your teachers, your instructors, like things that have really influenced you at a young age. And my mom and dad have honestly always been like, you can do whatever you want, you know, like just follow your heart,
right?
Do what you love.
You can
do whatever you want, you know? And I was like, okay, I'm gonna climb this tree. And then they were like, okay, like, let's...
We didn't mean that.
I mean, I definitely, yeah, again, I made them nervous a lot as a kid, but it's like the responsibilities of it, and they just let me do what I wanted to do. It was
so
really,
I like that. I love that, and I love also, as you mentioned, friends. I know you're very tight with Travis Brewer, but I often talk about the community. Who are some of the other ninjas who've influenced you?
Do they have to have been on the show?
I feel like there's so many people
that I know.
I'm always fascinated to know, like, you know, what you took from them or the lessons maybe you've learned from being on American Ninja Warrior. And not necessarily from any particular ninja. Maybe it is just, what has this taught you? Like this confidence you have. And
well, I'm going to first mention actually just a buddy of mine in the parkour world, Ryan Doyle. Mm-hmm. I did some stuff with him, and he has a really cool quote that struck me. And he says that, because he's like, oh, one person that inspires me is Jackie Chan, right? Which I think a lot of people, especially in my age group, was inspired by Jackie Chan, because what an amazing movement artist.
Right.
And Ryan Doyle goes, I don't want to be the next Jackie Chan. I want to be the first Ryan Doyle.
Oh, right. Strong.
You know?
Strong.
And I was like, whoa, that's really interesting. Like, you should have your own, like, of course, like, absorb and take what you can from the people that are around you that have experience, but, like, include your own flow, your own practice and your art and your passion.
Because I think the idea of what Doyle was saying is that essentially if you take on the fact that you want to be the next someone, you are essentially relinquishing the idea that you could be better than that person. Like, because you're limiting yourself to that. And it's a strong point.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say better, but just like your own.
Well, you could actually.
You could. I
mean,
yeah.
And when I say better, meaning, you know, some of these measurement tools like popularity, and maybe if someone's earned had a big, you know, like Jackie Chan, he's always doing big movies.
Yeah.
You could have bigger movies or whatever that could be.
Well, it almost forgives that though, where you don't have to have this comparison.
Yeah.
Which I think takes some of the pressure off the idea of, I might, rather than having to, like Kobe always saying, well, if I haven't won six championships, I'm not better than MJ. Not one of those comparisons. Yeah, like, what it doesn't matter. I'm going to be my own self. So one of the things that I want to also give a shout out, I was on Celebrity Apprentice, and in the finale, I was lucky enough to bring out you and Travis Brewer to do an acro yoga performance. And unfortunately, it wasn't seen, but it was one of the most amazing displays of physicality I've ever seen. And it's one of those things I'm still trying to get out there. So take us through this acro yoga and explain. I mean, to me,
I wasn't there.
The way I would describe it is it looked like as good as any Cirque du Soleil performance I've ever seen. But I know acro yoga is something you're a big part of. So please explain that for people who maybe aren't familiar with acro yoga. How would you describe it?
Well, acro yoga is working with another person to create a balanced, precise movement or position or pose. And so, I mean, I discovered it randomly in a park, and it was when I was doing a lot of parkour stuff, and parkour is pretty brutal on your body. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, you sprain ankles pretty often, especially when you're learning and you have little bumps and bruises. So it's like, you can only train so hard. And then I discovered acro yoga, which is just these people like kind of twirling themselves around in the park, twirling each other around mm-hmm. the park, right? One person would base and be the foundation, and one person would be what we call the flyer. And they'd be in the air, making these moves and changing their shapes and coordinating together to make this work. And I was completely fascinated by it. I was like, whoa, what is this? I've never seen this before. And I mean, it barely been around at that point. He's like, oh yeah, these guys are super welcoming. Same as, again, that same kind of like welcoming environment.
A
like
community.
Oh, yeah,
like that
community.
Santa Monica feel. That
Yeah. Honestly, everything in my life is like, that is what, whenever I find another community like that, I'm like, whoa, this is cool. Right. I want to be more a part of this. This is awesome.
And it seems like that fits your base too, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, having that construction background, having that foundation, being somebody that has the foundation, then being that flyer and then going around and doing all that crazy stuff.
Yeah. So one of the guys put me in one of the moves called Ninja Star, actually, ironically.
Oh, really?
Enough. He put me in this move called Ninja Star, and I was the flyer, and he twirled me around like effortlessly, and I was mind blown. I couldn't even believe it.
Right.
And it was this like euphoric, like, floating, twisting feeling, and yet like I was working with another person, so there was like this connection with like a stranger that I just met,
right?
You know what I mean? And like we ended up like turning into great buds, and like we trained all the time, and like I just got more and more fascinated with it. And now that like I'm an experienced acro yogi, I mean, one of the things I love the most is sharing that with people that have never experienced it, because there's something about it that is so unique and so powerful with like connection.
I think all the listeners
right now, with both of us.
I think all the listeners are probably asking one question right now. How the heck did you get to the point to where you started to trust that person? I know when you did it with Matt, you did it with myself. I got trust issues. I grew up in the hood. I got trust issues. And I'm like, what if I'm 260 pounds? What if he drops me? He's like, Akbar doesn't. And I'm like, scared. Were you scared
the
first time?
Imagine us balancing on. And how much do you weigh? 155?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
155. Yeah. I'm 245. You're 255.
Yeah, 255. I mean, 100 pounds.
Yeah. And you were balancing us.
But that's what's amazing about it is that like a lot of it's about balance.
Not trust?
Well, that too. I'm saying like,
the foundation,
like the strength part of like me being able to base somebody twice my size is like, if you haven't seen, there's somebody that's actually in the process of replicating the Stonehenge in by himself with sticks and stones, because he's discovered, I mean, well, it's not really a discovery, but he's realized that he can, if he finds that perfect balance point with these huge rocks, like tons and tons and tons of weight, that he can actually spin them by hand
and move them.
And like,
so this is crazy, because I've seen this almost same exact thing on your Instagram. Sorry, I like stalk you, but you took this girl and you spun her on your head.
Oh, yeah.
Like she was a fidget spinner. And I'm that's a human fidget spinner. What? That's crazy.
Well,
like,
you did it. I remember at the end of, I think it was season 8, you and Jesse.
Yeah,
we're just sitting there, and you started spinning her with your feet and doing this acro yoga routine.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you'd plan that or not, but it felt like it went on for like 5 or 6 minutes where you guys just seemed to be in sync doing these things that looked like you had trained for years.
Like it was choreographed.
It was just a flow, yeah.
It was incredible.
It was just a flow. Jessie's very, very coordinated, obviously, with her body as well. So we I mean, I taught her a few tricks. She knew a few tricks. I mean, together we just flew really nicely. And that was total improv.
Can you human fidget spinner me?
I can absolutely human fidget spinner you.
That is amazing.
Is that a new term? Did I just come up with a new term?
It's a shame that we did this, on audio, not video.
Human, you could actually put me on. You know, I could crush the cervical part of your spine here. Just compress. No,
I mean, if I did it right, if I kept you in that nice little balance zone, yeah, it would be no problem for me.
Wow, 255 pounds. On your neck, on your head?
Oh, well, I mean, I wouldn't do that move with you.
Oh, you would?
Let's not get carried
away. You'd use the feet.
Okay.
Yeah, I would do more of like the strong foundational acro yoga L-based.
Okay, so I've got something else for you. Your history where you were living in your car, you've now upgraded and you're living in a garage. And I'm taking a look at your garage, your new space, and you've made a lot of this little space. You've got the bed now, you've got the washing machine
running
water.
Right.
But how in the heck, and I'm sorry to get private here, you take your showers outside. Aren't you afraid of showing everybody your goods? And what happens if it's cold outside and it's raining? Because there are neighbors that could see you taking a shower outdoor.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a small step up in life, I'd say, for sure. You know, of course, it would be nice to also have an indoor shower, but honestly, I love the outdoor shower, specifically on the shower thing.
Is it to show everybody?
No, my God, no.
Okay, oh.
Jeez.
Well, and again, this is the lifestyle you've chosen. You love this. It seems to me you love this freedom.
Well, it's efficient living too. Right. You know, it's very simple. It's very compact and efficient and very thought out. Mm-hmm. Everything that we have in that space that we live in is like thought out. And like, if we don't use it enough, we move it along.
It doesn't
clutter up.
When I saw your space, it reminded me of my grandmother's place in Nigeria. And even to the point, well, they don't have washing machines and dryer, but even to the point where you had your washer and dryer, but you also had like a cutting board on the top.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it serves at
everything
counter.
Has multiple purposes.
Yeah, it has multiple purposes.
I'm glad you noticed that.
Yeah, I mean, everything, because I grew up kind of like that in Los Angeles, because my dad, that was his background. So I was looking, I'm like, man, I couldn't believe. Then I started thinking, I'm like, I wonder where he gets his hot water in. I wonder if they plumb it in, or are you just all cold water?
No, there's a sink down there. It's a normal sink.
Okay,
yeah.
Normal sink. Okay.
What, you know? So you do acro yoga. You've got this life. So you can't be moving all the time. What are the other things you love doing?
What are the other things I love doing? Well, I do those things a lot. and when I'm not doing those things, I'm pretty,
Scrabble. What? Sudoku.
I'm pretty into food, actually.
Like, what
I
kind
love
of food?
Good, like, homemade food.
So, cooking.
Cooking, yeah. Cooking. We go to, me and my girl and my friends, we go to the farms and market all the time. And, I mean, lots of, like, really fresh, you know, baked. I mean, if you saw the video back to my house, like, I have a barbecue, but we don't have an oven. So we cook everything in the barbecue, including, like, pies and breads and vegetables and, like, everything, cookies. So...
Okay, but that's good. I expect you to say all those things and... What about the bad stuff? Because, you know, you guys are the symbol of perfection when it comes to the body and the movement and the looks. And
you got to see the look on his face
right now. I'm telling you,
about his Reese's.
I saw you had some cereal up there. And I said, boy, I couldn't see what kind of cereal. I said, now, is that an organic, fresh type cereal? Or was that like, you know, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch or something?
He's asking, what are your vices?
I'm pretty ridiculously healthy, I have to say. I'm sorry. I it's all relative, though.
Right.
You know, it's all relative. I mean, like,
so you don't like oatmeal raisin cookies?
But you like that healthy. This is how you feel better.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that over the years I've acquired a taste for healthy food.
Right.
Honestly, I didn't like healthy food when I was a kid. I didn't like that stuff. My dad, for instance, was like, I never liked onions. And my dad was like, oh, like you don't like onions? Onions are the best. You know, like, never liked onions until I started to research how good onions are for you and garlic and like some of those superfoods, right?
Right.
That we eat or that we should eat on a pretty consistent basis. And I was like, maybe I should start kind of trying to incorporate onions into my diet.
If we could only convince ourselves the healthy food tasting good like he's done.
But you do realize like how much better you feel,
you feel better,
you feel looser and you don't feel as congested and you sleep better and you have more energy. And not even that, and this is something that a lot of people don't go into with diet and food, is clarity and focus and besides, like, everyone goes, oh, this food gives me energy and it makes me feel strong. Okay, cool. That's like part of life. Yeah. Another big part, if not like just as big of a part, is like feeling inspired.
Right.
And having a clear mind so you can like think about your ideas and like be creative. And you said, I mean, well, you said oatmeal cookies, and I just have to bring this up.
I said it because that's my favorite.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. For me personally, I mean, yeah, oatmeal cookies are great. My mom makes like the best oatmeal.
Okay. I want to have some. That's Cool Ranch, please. I need some.
But I've found out, I kept a little log of my food for about a few months, and I found out, oddly enough, oats always make me feel this weird kind of like
bloated,
antsy, lethargic, kind of like almost like impatient, you know, energy. And I felt strong. I felt awake. I felt like energized. But those other things, right, other very, very important things that will motivate you in life, like I just mentioned, was like huge for me. I was like, man, this is not working. As soon as I eliminated oats,
remarkable.
So you have to be very in tune to your life to be able to find those subtle things to be able to know, hey, my body is responding, reacting. Like I took a pen test to try to figure out what are some of my food intolerance because I'm always on the go, go, go. I don't have time to kind of figure out, hey, I ate this brownie today and it made me feel this way. I got to go. I got to get to the next spot.
Yeah.
You're in tune. You're not overwhelmed.
I think some of those things, those tests can be helpful to kind of help you kind of find out maybe what those things are and how they're affecting you. But you still have to do the personal research to find out if that's truly true. And yes, I have put that effort in. I have put the research in and the time and the energy to discover all these things. I mean, this is part of this is a huge part of my training too.
Right.
This is something that like beyond the physical stuff is like, I put a lot of energy into this.
Okay,
truly.
let's get out of the health space. Do you Netflix and chill? I mean, do you like playing video games? Because I know a lot of young guys, you're 29, pretty young still, are into video games. Do you kill
a lot of
time?
Older guys are into video games.
Yeah.
do you kill time? What is it that you do?
I grew up loving video games. I loved Sonic the Hedgehog was my favorite video game. I was
Sega Genesis,
yep, back in the day. It was me and my brother. We always played games together. That was like our thing.
Right.
Honestly, my bigger brother was way more into video games than I was, but I always loved tagging along with him. So we played video games a lot, and I was always Tails, which is actually, interestingly enough, part of the reason that orange is my favorite color and part of the reason I always wear it on the show.
Ah,
it's because
American Ninja Warrior.
You're Tails.
Because I was always Tails and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. Oh.
The fox.
Yes. I remember.
You're not a sidekick anymore, let me tell you that.
I've stepped up a little bit.
You might want to start wearing blue.
Well, yeah, blue is a great color too. But wait, where was I?
Talking about video games that you did growing up, you played them.
So I loved video games growing up, loved movies, loved TV shows. But honestly, like, crazy enough, like now with my lifestyle, and like where I've come and who I've become today, my life feels like a TV show or a movie or a video game. And people always say that too. They're like, oh, you're like Spider-Man or you're like Assassin's Creed or like you're like that one, you like live that one TV show like when they live in their vans and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm honestly too busy living this life that I love. Like I'm like so stoked every single day on the life that I'm living.
How many hours do you think you spend in a week watching TV?
I would honestly, funnily enough, I would actually love to be a little bit more up on the TV.
Well,
and
just
the
say
movie
at least
thing,
two when American Ninja Warrior is on, right?
American Ninja Warrior. because so many people watch TV and movies, it's one of those relatable things. It's just one of those things that everybody has in common. It's like, oh, you saw that movie? Cool. Oh, you saw that movie too? Wasn't that funny when that one part happened? But I don't have that as much, unfortunately.
Okay, give us something. You got to have one vice.
What is it that you have in common with the rest
What is something you'd want to change or where you feel like this is my weakness?
It's not that I've never had vices. It's one of those things that I've slowly kind of, I don't know, just kind of worked my way out of them just through self-discoveries. But let me think. What would be?
I'd be listening. I'd be like a machine gun right now.
Yeah. I was gonna say, would not sleeping be a vice?
Yeah, well,
because I don't like sleeping. I like being awake. And
so how many hours a day are you sleeping?
I usually sleep. Well, I mean, I still sleep like about six, seven.
But you got to be exhausted and just dead to the world. But you wake up with energy.
I don't go to sleep until I'm exhausted. I don't go to sleep until I'm falling asleep.
And you wake up when you want to.
Pretty much.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I've developed a lifestyle that allows that, which is pretty unique, definitely.
Would you trade your lifestyle for something else? Is there something else that you've eyeballed and said, I'd like to have that lifestyle?
Honestly, if there is that, I'm working towards that. But there's not, I mean, it's not really. I really, really like who I am, which is also a very unique thing, I think, for a lot of people. But it's something that I've worked really, really, really hard to acquire.
Yeah.
To have the lifestyle that I have.
It's such a testament, I think, A, to who you are and why I think so many people have enjoyed getting to know you through the show. But to me, that's one of the things that we always try to explain to people that I think they're getting a sense of, but that this community, that American Ninja Warrior is more than a show or a sport. It really is a lifestyle. And that's one of the things I think that we've learned from meeting athletes like you and people who built this community and who live this, who live their best lives. That's one of the things that you guys are also inspiring. I feel that this isn't about competition. It's about self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Being the best self you can be.
You know what? And to that point, there's a saying that I sometimes say on the show, don't talk about it, be about it. You really embody being about it. I mean, some people talk a good game, but you from not only have a good game as far as on the ninja course, but your lifestyle off of it, that's hard to kind of do and master both, because some people are, you know, sometimes they're in, sometimes they're out. You seem like you're fully in it and you've incorporated this whole thing into your life. That's impressive. That's high level type stuff. And I've been around a lot of high level athletes. I've played with guys like Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, LaDainian Tomlinson. These guys are all Pro Football Hall of Famers. And that's the level of eliteness that they operated in. So it's kind of
but
cool.
I love about this, though, is, again, it's beyond sport. This is a way of life. And this healthy lifestyle, I think, is so inspirational. I love that you and Travis are traveling the globe spreading this message. And I'm glad that we get to help do that at Modern Tarzan. And Travis Brewer, too, I want to give him a shout out. He's the way. So how do we find Travis?
Well, his Instagram is travisbrewer.ninja.
So we're here. We'll give a little behind the curtains. We're actually on the lot at Universal, about 300 yards from where you're going to be competing next week. We're pulling the curtain back here a little bit. Yep. So as you're here, you're getting ready for season 10. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, actually. I'm feeling less nervous than I have the previous years, which has been really nice, because every year leading up to this point, it's like that, now it's 3 weeks, now it's 2 weeks, right. Now it's 5 days, now, you know, and your heart starts racing, you start like kind of not sleeping as well or having even nightmares about the course. But so far, I haven't really had any of that anxiety, which is really great.
Good.
Because you just feel more comfortable? This could be your fourth season competing.
I think,
I know the game.
It's now like I've shown a consistency with who I am as a ninja, like as myself and on the course. And it's like, okay, you know, like I don't think I'm going to fall on the first obstacle anymore. I'm not nervous about that anymore, you know? And like, not saying that I couldn't, but it's not a thought that goes through my head. I also don't think that I'll fall on the second obstacle or the third or the fourth. So it's just like, okay, cool. I'm kind of at this ease of like, I think I'll do pretty good.
The confidence.
See it in season 7, or you didn't know it. You didn't know it in season 7, Mount Midoriyama.
Oh my God.
This year, do you see yourself getting to Mount Midoriyama and hitting the buzzer?
I definitely see myself getting to stage 3, and I haven't touched stage 3 yet. So that would be a new experience for me, and that would be an amazing goal to achieve, getting through stage 3. I definitely have a really good chance of getting through stage 3 as well. So hitting Mount Midoriyama.
I love that.
But if you think about it, I'm going to be a brainiac here. So if you see yourself completing stage 3, that means you see yourself getting to Mount Midoriyama.
That's true.
Well, stage 4.
Yeah, stage 4. Oh, right. Stage 4. Yeah.
But the thing is, the course is a little bit different every year.
Every year.
I can't see myself completing stage 3 until I
see
it.
I love the humility. Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
So here's one thing I always like to ask, too, because we see it and our heart always breaks. But in those moments, and the reality is, look, we've had two people, Jeff Britton and Isaac Caldiero, complete stage 4. And they've fallen. Every single athlete who's taken to the course has fallen. What's it like when you hit the water and you realize my season is done?
Man, well, I think the most impacting moment for me was the first time that I fell into the water, which was my first season 7 at the national finals on the jumping spider.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying a little bit of a different technique that I thought would work, didn't work, and fell straight in the water. And it was like Didn't expect it. Definitely did not see that coming. And it's a really, the most interesting part about it is how the energy changes just around you with the fans and the environment and like just the whole energy of it. You get out and they give you a towel and they're like, all right, you know, like come over here. You know, like we want to ask you a few more questions before you head out. And, you know, like the fans are then all kind of eyes on the next person. And all of a sudden you're like, the spotlight was like, boom, 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 you, you, you. And then it's just off. And it's this really interesting, dramatic change, like mentally.
Great observation.
You know, which was a first for me, especially at that scale. That was a first for me actually ever in my life, by far, that kind of that experience. I don't think that you even experienced that in many other sports necessarily to that extreme.
Sure.
I think. And that's one of the toughest, I think, again, like into the anxiety of Ninja Warrior a little bit. Like, yeah, it's, you know, a little stressful sometimes, yeah. You know, like you're really put on the spot.
You're good as long as you keep going, but the minute you're done, it's like, okay, well, on to
yeah,
the next.
It is definitely a bit of that. And so, you know, I think it can hit people really hard, and it hit me hard for a minute, but I realized that like overall Ninja Warrior isn't like 100% of my life. And so I have a lot of other goals that I'm really trying to accomplish that I'm more focusing on. And I was like, okay. It's okay. I didn't complete it this year necessarily. I've got all these other things that I'm looking forward to. You know what I mean?
What's different about Nicholas Coolidge in season 10 from the previous years? Like, I mean, I know you've grown into it, but what's different? Is there anything, you got anything in your utility belt that we haven't seen this year?
Oh, man. Well, let's see.
Confidence, clearly.
Confidence has grown. And I think that can be a good thing and a bad thing. Because, again, with the adrenaline, if the adrenaline doesn't kick in at the right moment, because I'm so confident, yeah. Right, then I don't get to use that to my advantage, which I think it'll definitely still kick in. But overall, picking up on my cardio, I don't know, just like keeping up on things.
What about the idea that – what about
the
idea,
more specific thing.
Well, what about the idea that this year we're opening up the field of competition to 19-year-olds, young bloods? Does that mean anything to you when you see that there could be a lot of fresh guys who've seen lots and lots of years of Ninja Warrior?
Yeah.
How does that work with your psyche?
I don't think that this year will be nearly as affected as next year because of what you said about the first – you'll never complete it the first time you're on the show because
they
of
need the
that
experience.
Environment,
right.
The mental stress of it. And I guess, I'd say that's one of the biggest things that I have up on a lot of people is that I do put myself in a lot of very stressful situations all the time, which not just in American Ninja Warrior, but also when I'm pressuring myself to, create a beautiful image for the Instagram, or I also do some performances with Travis Brewer,
right.
You know what I mean? And you're in front of an audience. And so, and even this podcast, for instance, you know, a lot of people will be really nervous even just coming into this thing, but I'm starting to feel that kind of confidence of just like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
That's it. That's a great place to be in life. So you mentioned goals. You have goals outside of Ninja Warrior. Give us your dream goal. Where what's Nicholas Coolidge's ultimate goal in life?
Well, so this is a goal I've had for many years. It's actually the original reason I bought my van. It wasn't to live in. It was to travel across the country in. Living in the van just kind of happened because my parents moved out of town. I'd never rented a place on my own and didn't even really have the funds to really do that anyways at the moment. And I really didn't want to get a normal job, right? So I was like, all right, I'm going to just live in the van. So then I did that pretty much until – I mean, I still have it. It's still kind of my backup. But this summer – me and my girlfriend are planning a big trip across the country.
So that means West Coast to East Coast.
Yeah. Actually, New York, like Montreal is going to be like the ending destination overall. And then we weave back. But it's not really like, okay, we're just going to get over there. It's like we are going to.
It's the journey.
Journey
it's
there.
Not the destination.
For months.
Right.
And we actually don't even know how long. It's a huge thing. She's actually in the process of leaving her job so she can like fully commit to this trip. And, Besides the trip, I mean, as far as supporting ourselves, we are going to be going to different gyms to teach acro, to teach ninja, to meet people around the world, to meet influencers that are also doing amazing things on Instagram, and just like live it.
That's pretty cool. I actually share that with you. It's been one of those passion that I would love to go from West Coast to East Coast.
Yeah.
I've never done a cross-country trip before, ever, but I hate driving. So I don't think I'm going to get that anytime
soon. You got a Tesla.
But,
well, yeah.
Tesla can do
but,
it.
But I would love to hear and follow along on your Instagram.
We will be.
At Modern Tarzan.
I think you'd really enjoy it. There you go. You can live it through me. Journey.
Yeah, I will. So, I will vicariously live through you.
One last question for our awesome guest, Nicholas Gorge. And by the way, can't thank you enough for coming in here. But if you were to win season 10 and take home $1 million.
$1 million.
What would you do with that money?
What would I do with that money? Well, if I had that money today, I would definitely leave on this trip on the van a lot sooner.
See you season 10.
Yeah. And I'd probably just end up traveling around the world for a long time. And then once I got tired of that, I mean, another dream would just be to have a big plot of land to like build my own little Tarzan jungle on, you know, and have friends over and teach workshops and teach kids how to be ninjas too, and just have that situation where you can continue, where I continue to be passionate about what I do and share my passion.
Would money change you?
No, not at all. No, I mean, it's like I said, I'm already happy. I think that if you can't be happy with a little, you're not going to be happy with a lot.
Praise. Praise.
I think it's a perfect way to end it.
I like that. You just took me to church.
I know.
It just took me to church.
Well, you may be happy with a little. I felt like we got a lot from our guest today, though. Nicholas Coleridge.
Thank you, guys.
At Modern Tarzan, get ready for season 10. I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of this guy.
I like how you call him by his government name, and I just call him Nick.
He's Nick. Nick, we can't thank you enough for
coming
by.
Everyone just calls
buddy.
Me Tarzan, typically.
Tarzan! Ben Mealing. We don't want to get into the beast situation
there's
You're
a bit
Modern
of a
Tarzan.
Too. Yeah, okay.
Hey, we'll we can't Tarzan. Wait to see you on season 10. Nick, thanks for coming by and sharing
Thank you, guys.
It.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks so much. You got to teach me that human fidget spinner thing, too.
Our inaugural guest on the American Ninja Warrior podcast. Thanks to Nicholas Coleridge.
I love how he says it. That was good.
I don't know that we could have asked for a better first guest. I mean, Coleridge, what I love more than talking about what he does on the course, but just off the course, what a simple lifestyle, and yet he seems to have it figured out at age 29.
Yeah, you know, and it's starting to actually become a trend now, too. You're starting to see people more adopting this minimalist lifestyle, and you can tell that Coleridge embodies that, but just to get to know the ninja away from the ninja course and who he is, what he believes in. I love how he answered, essentially, that $1 million wouldn't change him. He would just become more of who he is.
He's leading the happiest life.
That's what you love about guys like
that. Well, it's what my dad said to me when I left medicine. Life is short. Do what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And I think we're lucky enough to do that.
Yep.
And hear that Coleridge is doing that. And hopefully everyone listening to this takes that away. When we talk about the ninjas, I always tell people, as impressive as they are on the course, I always think they're more impressive off the course, and Coleridge was a prime example.
Yeah, and it was cool to hear him tell his story about going out to work with his father and doing construction. And, you know, when you're doing construction, there's always this foundation. You got to start off with the foundation to build a house. And clearly, Coleridge Foundation is rock solid. I think season 10 is probably going to be his best season yet. This
and
is going to be cool.
And speaking of which, this is it. Season 10.
It's right around the corner.
Wednesday, May 30th, 8 p.m. Set your DVRs. You're not going to want to miss a second of the action on season 10. And we got a good lead up to it as well.
Absolutely. We've got May 28th. We've got the Skills Challenge.
And so good.
That's going to be
all-stars.
A lot of fun. The All-Stars is going to be fun. You're going to see a lot of these ninjas doing like superhuman crazy stuff on the Skills Challenge.
And we got Red Nose Day. That's going to be Thursday, May 24th. We did it last year with the celebs. I've heard there's one very special celeb who may be tackling the course this year.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what's crazy? I don't see myself as a celebrity, but I better be a celebrity that night, a shining celebrity. I'm actually going to be doing the course
for the
very first time.
Listen, technically, like I said, I have to point out to people, I'm a celebrity from Celebrity Apprentice. This will be your crowning celebrity moment.
Yes, I know.
Akbar, this is it.
I better shine.
So they'll get to see it Red Nose Day, May 24th. Jane Lynch is going to be doing Hollywood Game Night. We're going to be joining Chris Hardwick out in New York for the live telecast, Making a Difference, the Skills Challenge, but it is May 30th, season 10 rolls out, 8 p.m.
I can't wait.
And more importantly, you guys just listened to the premiere of the American Ninja Warrior podcast.
I love the way you do that.
Well, hey, for Akbar Bajabiamila, I'm Matt Eisman. We'll listen to him next time.
Yeah, on A&W Podcast.
No. Come on, give it once.
American Ninja Warrior.
I can't do it like
podcast.
We nailed it. Thanks for listening, guys.
This has been the American Ninja Warrior podcast.
That's right. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Ninja Warrior.
And watch American Ninja Warrior.